Seems like you were able to streamline the process and cut through a little bit of red tape. Is that an accurate way of looking at it?
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm John Yeager, and this is Bloodworks 101, the podcast designed to inspire you to donate either time, money, or blood. This is an episode about red tape, blood donation, and it's about politics, and specifically what's been called House Bill 1037. And it's about how the four blood centers of the Northwest Blood Coalition, made up of the American Red Cross, Vitalant, based in Spokane, Cascade Regional Blood Services, based in Pierce County, and Seattle-based Bloodworks Northwest, and how they all got together to basically streamline the blood collection process. What's House Bill 1037? Well, with us to unpack it all is Lisa Ballinger, the VP of Blood Services. Lisa will tell you that's the group of folks who have the needles and are out there collecting blood from our donors. And we'll talk to my colleague Juan Cotto, the Senior Government Affairs Strategist for Bloodworks Northwest. We'll talk to him about politics and cutting through the red tape. Okay, back to House Bill 1037. What is it? What does it do? Here's Juan Cotto, and after Juan, you'll hear from Lisa Ballinger.
It was sponsored by a number of legislators, but predominantly our good friend, Representative Paul Harris, who's out of the Vancouver area. Representative Harris, his staff member, Tony Camp, have been major supporters of blood donation over the years and so helpful in helping us get legislation started down there. And basically what this does is it works to streamline the process for the licensing of phlebotomists. And if you think about phlebotomists who have come through the system, and I'm sure Lisa will touch on this, once they have shown technical competency, they submit their application for licensing to the state of Washington. This will allow the phlebotomists to basically work while the license is being considered and being finalized down in Olympia.
Because right now, and I see this when I'm a donor occasionally, there'll be somebody who's training and they have to have a staff person follow them around, which basically means that that staff person isn't taking blood at that point. They're overseeing the training of this employee. That's basically it in a nutshell, right?
Well, that does still happen with employees who are being trained. We do have folks who are with them acting as their trainers or their mentors as they're being trained. This bill affects employees who have completed their training for whole blood collection. They've finished, they've shown their proficiency, and they've been signed off to collect whole blood and screen donors for whole blood eligibility, but their license isn't active yet. And there's a gap between when they complete their training and when that license becomes active, and it can take months. So prior to this bill, when an employee was in that gap where they were fully trained, but they didn't have an active license yet, we had to ensure that one of our licensed phlebotomists observed that employee every time they broke skin in a procedure. So anytime they performed a venipuncture to collect a unit of blood, but also anytime they did the finger stick in screening where they're testing iron levels. So it was just having to have that set of eyes watching what they were doing until their licenses became active. That's the part that's really been affected.
Seems like you were able to streamline the process and cut through a little bit of red tape. Is that an accurate way of looking at it?
Absolutely. It really allows our veteran licensed staff to continue doing the incredible work that they do, working with the donors, focusing on the processes to make sure everything that they're doing is solid and according to regulation. And meanwhile, the newer folks who aren't fully licensed yet, but are completely trained, can go about their business and do the same thing. So everybody is doing what they're trained to do without having to follow this old, pretty unnecessary step that was really disrupting the flow of our donor.
So why do you think it was done in the first place, Lisa? I mean, I'm just guessing that if it's Department of Health, they want to make sure that, you know, it's meeting the letter of the law, being as conscious of public health as you can be. But in this case, it seemed like it was just a little bit of overkill.
From my perspective, it did feel that way. I don't know why. I can speculate that there was more comfort in knowing that this person held a license, when really what they need to hold is completed training documents. They need to have reached that point where we have gone through all of the steps and watched them repeatedly and make sure that they understand the processes. And that's what really allows them to be independent on the floor collecting units from donors.
Go ahead.
I just want to point out, John, that with a couple of our coalition partners, partners, they don't have the number of licensed phlebotomists and supervisory positions as we do at Bloodworks Northwest. And unfortunately for a lot of their most recent trainees, they didn't have someone who could be monitoring them after they had shown the technical competency. And what that did for them was that they didn't even get on the floor to draw blood. And obviously, when you're waiting sometimes as long as 3 to 4 months for your license, you go on and do something else. So we actually lost several good people throughout the state of Washington who never got a chance because they were waiting on that licensing.
So Juan, what did it take to get this done? Any significant obstacles?
We had to find the right partners in Olympia. It was a little bit longer process. I think I shared with you before, it was basically a change of a sentence, but it took us a couple of years to get this done. And once we were able to build the case with Representative Harris and a couple of other representatives really understood, especially coming out of the pandemic, that helped us move the process a little bit quicker. We also were very, very fortunate that I was at a social engagement where I met a lobbyist for the hematologists in the state of Washington. And they had some similar legislation going on. And at that particular engagement, the lobbyist told me that they were going to be unable to work with us, but they wanted to monitor our situation. Well, a few months later, the lobbyist called me and said, "Hey, Juan, I've got an idea. Why don't we work together?" And once the hematologists were also able, with the help of Representative Harris, we went as a collective. And that really helped the legislature understand the problem that we had, especially coming back from the pandemic.
I think this is interesting because I work here, but I think it's one of those things that reflects just how complex the job of collecting blood is and making the process just a little easier. And yet you tell me one line, it took months, if not years, to get changed. And it really does. Again, it's sort of the inside baseball, but I think these are the important things to share with people to say, this is important work and it takes a lot of work to get stuff done.
Yeah, and with the legislature coming back from this, how do you describe the last couple of years after the pandemic and being able to share with them the challenges? And they're hearing from a variety of different disciplines and industries throughout the state of Washington, but certainly to be able to sit down and share some of the challenges that we're having and some of the simple solutions that can help us in our community and hiring new phlebotomists to the whole idea of engaging the community and finding more blood donors. We're really fortunate that we've been able to develop some relationships and have some people who are willing to carry our message forward.
Lisa, do you think the average donor is going to notice these changes?
I think they definitely will when they're working with new employees. I think it won't be so obvious that someone's coming in and following this step and you know what they're doing. And so the donors will feel the flow of the room has improved, but they also won't have this strange step in there that would sometimes make them nervous. Like, why does somebody need to come in and check on what you're doing? Are you trained? And the person will say, "Yes, I'm completely trained. Everything is fine." And so I think that part of it is that everything will be more cohesive and it will flow together and it won't be as obvious that somebody is new, which I think builds confidence both for the employee and for the donor.
And you want to hope that they don't notice anything, right?
For sure.
But look
at
all the work it took to get this change so that they don't notice anything.
Yeah. And those new employees have taken months to be trained. They've been working at this for months and months. And so it's important to get them out there and to feel that confidence and for the donors to feel that confidence in them as well. So it's a big deal.
One of the first touch points is when you go into a donor center, you get registered right there. Then you meet up with somebody in the room. They screen you. And that relationship with the phlebotomist is everything.
It's pivotal. Yep. It makes all the difference.
And I just want to point out, that's something that I shared with legislators in Olympia. This is our most important position. This is the one who develops a relationship with your constituent, the blood donor. This is the one who is the public face for Bloodworks Northwest. And you think about phlebotomists such as Linnell Bennett and people who have got some great relationships with blood donors and who've established those relationships for years. It's critical that we have good people who are going to follow through on this position. And I hopefully, Lisa, I hope you agree. I think legislation that will help us continue to keep good people working with us.
Absolutely.
So we're going to bring this home. Anything that either of you would like to add that I haven't asked right now or that you feel is important to add?
Just like to thank Juan for the great work in pursuing this and implementing positive change here at Bloodworks.
John, we are continuing to develop relationships and share our mission and share our message and the stories of our people in Olympia. We're fortunate that we are developing champions. We're starting to carry that message. And we're really excited about what we accomplished in this legislative session. The work of the coalition of blood centers throughout the state of Washington is allowing us to continue to promote the message in the legislature and really promote the message through communities throughout the state of Washington. Washington to make sure that we are engaging communities about the need and the importance of blood donation.
And guys, if you think that what we say to the media and how we spread our message doesn't matter, or doesn't matter as much as we'd like it to, yesterday I went and donated blood, and I got into the screening station with Vito, my blood collection specialist, and I said, how long have you been collecting blood? He says, about 18 months. And you know, when I decided to come in is when I started hearing news stories about the shortage of workers for blood collection specialists. And I sat there and it was like, and this guy is taking my blood today, because that was a big message for us halfway through the pandemic is, you know, the great resignation. We weren't getting enough people. So it does matter. This stuff does matter.
We're all interconnected. Employees, donors, everybody.
That was Lisa Ballinger, BloodWorks Northwest Vice President of Donor Services, and Juan Cotto, our Senior Government Affairs Strategist for BloodWorks Northwest, discussing House Bill 1037 and how it cuts through the red tape and streamlines what should be the simple act of blood donation. And that just about wraps it up for this edition of BloodWorks 101. I'm your host, John Yeager. See you next time.